Good morning. This is the business meeting of the Judicial Council of California for December 13th, 2011. It is the second part of our two-day meeting, which we started yesterday afternoon. This is a continuation. As was the case for our meeting yesterday, in addition to the members here in the boardroom, we also have or will have two Judicial Council members joining us by teleconference, and that is Judge Sharon Water, Superior Court of Riverside County, and Judge Bert Pine, Superior Court of Los Angeles County. Again, I remind you, as you've always heard over and over, that meetings of the Judicial Council are audio cast live with real-time captioning on the California Courts website. Please speak into your microphones and address each other by name so that audio cast listeners and real-time captioning readers can follow the discussion. We will also have several distinguished colleagues and visitors at this session who will be presenting items on the agenda, and they will be introduced when those panels are presented. The Executive and Planning Committee has allocated 1/2 hour on the agenda for public comment at the beginning of this business meeting. For comments that pertain to specific discussion items on the agenda, the speakers will be called forward as the item is presented during our meeting. I believe today we have one request to speak in the public comment period. This is for the items L through M. So I mistaken, actually no requests for public comment. Just later on in this morning or afternoon on the bench bar media report, we do have one request for public comment, and that's as to item L. Thank you. I hope you also all received your updated agenda for this morning, December 13th, 2011, and it should be then by your seat. I'd also note for the record, at least as to public comment, we did not receive any written comments. However, we did receive written comments, as you know, on other items on our agenda. First order of business is approval of our minutes from October 27, 28. I believe those have been distributed to you. They were distributed yesterday. I ask you if you've taken a look at it, if you care to discuss this, or I can hear a motion on its approval.
Motion approved. Second.
Thank you, Judge Wesley. Thank you, Judge So. Any discussion on the minutes? All in favor of approval of the minutes from October, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Minutes are approved. On the agenda, then, this brings us to the next item, which is the Chief Justice's report. And so I will give you a brief report. Starting with June, I will only say that since the governor approved the budget bill last June, many of our colleagues on the bench and the bar, many of you around this table, have committed ourselves to finding budget solutions to stabilize branch funding. And as I travel around the state with many judges, visiting with judges and bar groups and seeing many of you, the budget is the number one topic I'm asked to address. At our meeting yesterday, very briefly, the council discussed the potential budget solutions for the courts in the context of the state's ongoing fiscal crisis. As you recall, our ability to further discuss that matter was constrained by time, and we've continued that matter, which was recommendation number one, I believe, of four, to discussion of on this calendar. What I hope to do is actually take our old business first, that Justice Baxter's presentation, before we take any other matters after the consent agenda. In the interest of finishing our agenda from yesterday before we start today. On Friday, I taped a video address to the courts that outlined a six-point plan that you know about that we believe will enable us to return to a stable baseline level of funding for next year and longer term. And as you know, we start with a proposal to accept the current year as the minimal funding level the judicial branch needs to meet its appropriate level of services. This means that the judicial branch would absorb $350 million made in cuts to the courts. That leaves a gap of $300 million in ongoing additional funding needed in order to maintain the fiscal year 2011-12 funding level. We have several ideas for meeting that challenge, including some user fees that have been developed in collaboration with judicial branch stakeholders and our sister branches, and a redirection from other court funds, and the use of fund balances for court operations in those courts through 2014 and 15. As you know, the plan was developed with many of you in consultation with many, many people in the trenches within and outside the branch. I think it's reasonable, and so far the reaction has been positive. However, like all good plans, it will evolve as the situation changes, and as this council is aware, we regroup on a moment's notice to respond to changes here in the state, in the legislative branch, and in the executive branch. And I appreciate council support in continuing this dialogue, spreading this information to your colleagues, to the bar, and finding solutions. Related to our legislative priorities, since our last meeting in October, I've had several meetings in Sacramento with legislative leaders and representatives from the governor's office. I've also continued my statewide listening tour and meeting with as many courts, bar associations, and community groups as my schedule will allow. And I do thank many of you that I see at these events who are also just leaders in your community, continuing to keep the dialogue fresh and open and taking in ideas and spreading them and bringing them back to me and to the council. In the last 6 weeks, a summary, I have participated in a tribute to Justice Vance Ray in Sacramento. To our knowledge, he is the first African-American administrative presiding justice in the history of the branch. I've met with high school students, justices and judges, community groups at a series of events at the Court of Appeal in Santa Ana. That was organized by Senator Lou Correa, Presiding Judge Thomas Boris, and Justice Kay O'Leary. I've also met with judges who are part of the Complex Civil Litigation Program while they were here in San Francisco for a conference. I did return to the Court of Appeal in Santa Ana for a memorial service for the late Presiding Justice David Sills, and just a beacon in that community, both in the city council, and the judicial branch that was hosted by the Orange County Bar Association. By teleconference, I participated in the board of directors meeting that was held in Washington, D.C., for the Conference of Chief Justices, talking about civics education and language access issues that are currently going on with the ABA. I also attended an interview with United States Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer on his recent visit to San Francisco, where he spoke to Hastings law students. I met with judges from the courts in Santa Barbara, Ventura, San Luis Obispo on a two-day visit at the end of November. I thank all of you who were there, especially Judge Herman, who was very helpful. Ron and I had the pleasure of an airline odyssey where we couldn't get out to Santa Barbara, flew to L.A., drove the rest of the way to Santa Barbara, and on our return trip, we flew out of San Luis Obispo, flew to San Francisco on a delayed plane, only to make a U-turn in the air to come back to San Luis Obispo because we couldn't land anywhere in San Francisco, and then to drive to San Francisco. No more need be said about that odyssey.
Chief, we purposely make it so you can't get there from here.
Thank you.
Pilot.
I'm only going to say that whenever I fly with Ron, it's always an odyssey. But next on off of the agenda is I presided over the State Federal Judicial Council in Los Angeles. The council met in Los Angeles on December 2nd, and we heard reports from seven subcommittees and a presentation on a capital habeas corpus proceedings from a guest speaker, John Vandekamp, who, you know, former Attorney General, former President of the State Bar. He serves as chair of the California Commission on the Fair Administration of Justice and was part of the report 2008 on capital appeals and habeas corpus. In many meetings with bar groups, those meetings included recently a keynote address at the Consumer Attorneys of California's 50th Annual Convention. Thank you, Mark Robinson. Meeting with Contra Costa County Bar Association. Also, after the visits to the courts in Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo, I also met with bar associations in both of those counties. I also addressed the County Bar Association of Sacramento for their annual meeting. And on a visit last week to Los Angeles, I addressed the Chancery Club at lunch and there saw many of you, including Justice Ashman Gerst, and thank you, Ian Guy. That was very wonderful to see, and David Wett, Judge Wesley, to see so many people who are part of judicial counsel involved in high levels at the legal, in the legal community. We also attended the justices, myself, Justice Baxter, the Italian American Lawyers Association at dinner with Fritz Ulrich. That was a pleasure. And on Friday, I delivered remarks at the annual meeting of the Association of Defense Counsel of Northern California here in San Francisco. Also, since our October meeting, I had the pleasure of addressing the International Conference of the American Institute of Architects, the Academy of Architecture for Justice. This was important as part of our construction initiative to hear what they had to say, to involve California. At the conference in Los Angeles, the council was awarded a design excellence citation for the new courthouse under construction in Hollister. I was also the guest at a reception sponsored by the San Francisco Filipino American Chamber of Commerce that was in conjunction with the National Association of Women Lawyers. I had the opportunity to speak in Stockton at the Chamber of Commerce for the Athena Awards for Women in Leadership with a federal Ninth Circuit Judge Connie Callahan. I welcomed panelists and participants at the second of the four hearings on California's civil one justice hearings held here in the auditorium. I also conducted several interviews throughout this period with legal and news media on the impact of the budget reductions on the courts and other matters. And that concludes most activities since October.
Yeah, I'm exhausted.
You should be. You should be. You were with me on most of these.
I know.
How's the day job going?
Late nights. Thank you. At this time, then, we will hear from Ron on the Administrative Director's Report.
Thank you, Chief Justice, members of the Council. With regard to travel, I was snowed in one airport the first month of the Chief's service as Chief Justice, and then 2 months later I was tsunamied out of a vacation in Maui, and the Chief threatened never to travel with me, and did anyway, and now I think that's probably it. You've received weekly reports from me, so I won't repeat those, and I've submitted an interim administrative director's report to you, so I won't repeat those things. I will just add on to Justice Hill's report yesterday from the facilities working group on the great progress that's happening with facilities. We had successful bond sales for five projects that are now moving forward with construction. So there are shovels in the ground in Calaveras, San Andreas Courthouse, San Benito, the Hollister Courthouse that the Chief Justice mentioned, Riverside, the new courthouse in Banning, which is central Riverside County, San Bernardino, which is the largest of the five, which the community of San Bernardino is very excited about, and Tulare, the new Porterville courthouse. So those courthouses are funded for construction, and construction is beginning on those. On Friday, Chris Patton and I will be attending a ceremony with Governor George Duke Majan to celebrate the installation of the first steel in that building. The concrete has been laid and the foundation has been laid, and so we'll see the first steel beginning to go up, and that courthouse, as planned, is moving very quickly in terms of the construction of that, so that is progressing very, very well. I'll also just mention project that we've been working on with the due diligence and the eight tracks that Chris reported on yesterday in yesterday's session, that is a full court press or a deep dive into that entire subject to see if there are legal, ethical, or other issues that we need to address or that are stumbling blocks for us going into the gate before we get too deep into the technical review of those things. But that is a significant project that's underway now to be able to get you some answers to the questions that you've raised in the process. That's the interim administrative director report, Chief Justice, unless there are questions.
I don't see any hands raised. Thank you, Ron. Next presentation, Justice Baxter.
With the legislature in recess, the policy committee has not met since the last judicial council meeting, at which time we reported the legislative priorities, and of course that was discussed yesterday, and we will continue that discussion today. The legislative proposals are on today's agenda, I believe on the consent agenda. The legislature will reconvene January 4th for the second year of the 2011-12 session, and as it begins its sessions, the policy committee will naturally conduct meetings to keep up with the legislation at issue. So I will continue to update the council in future meetings as legislation is introduced, as positions are taken, and as judicial council-sponsored legislation moves through the process. And that completes my report.
Thank you, Justice Baxter. Any questions? Thank you. Next, then, we'll hear from Justice Miller.
Thank you, Chief Justice. The Executive and Planning Committee has met five times since our October meeting. Three of those were by email and two by telephone. The minutes for those different items are linked to the meeting agenda under Internal Committee Chair Presentations, and they are publicly posted on the California Courts website. We, of course, were involved in setting the agenda for yesterday and today's meeting. And then there was just one other item that I wanted to highlight. E&P has approved a solicitation for nominations to fill the upcoming vacancy on the Judicial Council due to Judge Bert Pine's retirement. Due to Judge Pine's retirement, which is effective January 1st, 2012, and we hope to have a new Judicial Council member for that position by the January meeting. And that is Executive and Planning's report.
Thank you, Justice Miller. Any questions, comments? Next, then, we'll hear from Justice Hull.
Thank you, Chief. Good morning. The Rules and Projects Committee has met three times since the October 28th Judicial Council meeting, all by telephone conference call. RUPRO met on November 15th to consider five proposals that are coming before the Council today. RUPRO also reconsidered its recommended effective dates of two proposals previously considered. RUPRO recommends approval of each of these proposals, which are items A1, A5, A6, A9 through A11 and D on today's consent agenda. RUPRO, since our last meeting, has also considered a recommendation from the Trial Court Presiding Justice's Advisory Committee and the Court Executive's Advisory Committee to suspend all non-critical rule and form proposals, defined as those that are not mandated by statute or case law or otherwise deemed urgent and necessary by RUPRO or the Judicial Council. The committee, I'm pleased to report, with the much-appreciated cooperation of many of the Advisory Committee's proposing rules, was indeed able to fulfill that request with only a few exceptions. For instance, by way of exception, you have on we have on our agenda today a proposed rule, item A6, on the consent calendar that allows the Supreme Court and the other districts of the Court of Appeal to establish electronic filing programs such as that which has been authorized as a pilot project in the 2nd District. The rule, our thinking was, the rule is without any cost to any court except those, and only to the extent a district chooses to proceed with an e-filing program, which is up to the individual districts. Moreover, there is a significant chance for cost savings if that rule is adopted and e-filing is adopted in the various districts of the Court of Appeal. I might add parenthetically to that, that's not me, that this is perhaps an example of a theme, if you will, that RUPRO is going to be pursuing as we move into the new year, the new calendar year, and that is, if not the first question, one of the first questions RUPRO is going to be asking from those proposing rules is whether or not the rule relates to a matter that is required, that it is required to be the subject of statewide uniform application versus a rule that is would allow for local autonomy. In other words, a rule or an area that will allow individual courts to deal with matters as they see fit, and as their local needs in their communities require. And so we're going to be very sensitive to that particular subject as the new year proceeds. RUPRO appreciates the input of these advisory committees and included many of their recommendations in drafting criteria and priority levels for rules and forms to be considered in the next year. The recommendations are included in a letter approved by RUPRO and addressed to advisory committee chairs concerning rules and forms proposals, which will be contained in the advisory committee's upcoming annual agendas in January. On November the 29th, RUPRO met to review four rules and forms proposals to circulate for public comment during the winter cycle, two of which RUPRO recommends for council adoption effective January 1st, 2012. Those two proposals, the wage garnishment forms concerning claims of exemption and petitions for recognition of gender change, are recommended for adoption effective January 1st to be consistent with statutory changes effective on that date that were signed by the governor on October the 9th of this year. These proposals are items A2 and A4 on today's agenda, on the consent agenda. Following public circulation and further review by the advisory committees and RUPRO, all proposals are expected to come before the Judicial Council at the April 2012 business meeting. RUPRO also considered its earlier recommendation, reconsidered its earlier recommendation that specific civil jury instructions be on the Council's discussion agenda and approved corrections to the uniform bail and penalty schedules that RUPRO approved on November 15th. On December the 5th, RUPRO met to review two rules and forms proposals to circulate for public comment during the winter cycle. Following public circulation and further review by the advisory committees and RUPRO, these proposals are expected to come before you, before the Judicial Council at the April 2012 business meeting. And unless there are questions or comments, Chief, that's the RUPRO report.
Thank you, Justice Hall. I don't see any hands raised. Then we'll hear from Judge Herman.
Thank you. I'm not going to repeat what we discussed yesterday. I will say that our committee has met three times since the last October meeting. We've also had weekly steering committee meetings with interaction with representatives of AMP as well as the executive committee, and a full-day strategy meeting last Friday on the 9th to craft the go-forward plan for CCMS. One thing that was not discussed yesterday that's going to be an important issue for us to go forward is how we work with courts with failing legacy systems. And in working with some of those courts at this point, it's come to us that we really need to develop a policy, and that's particularly for courts that do not qualify for emergency funding under our emergency funding policy, but nevertheless are caught in a similar situation to what was discussed in building maintenance yesterday. That is where there's been deferred maintenance of electronic system, and then all of a sudden, for one reason or another, that system goes into failure. Either the one person that's able to understand the system retires, the county cuts off the court from mainframe service or raises the price of that mainframe service so that it's exorbitant, otherwise the system itself becomes inadequate and fails. And so the policy that EMP has asked us to prepare, that we hope to have done by the, if not the January meeting, by the February meeting, is a policy that would first of all assess what financial criteria we look at in terms of a court applying to the AOC for funding for a failing legacy system. And second, if indeed the AOC does support funding that court, what sort of oversight or interaction should there be between the AOC, ISD, Information Services Division, and that court in terms of supporting the court, making sure that the deployment of a new system is, one, cost-effective, and, two, is handled so that it has a successful outcome.
Thank you. Judge Herman, any questions or comments on Judge Herman's report? Hearing none, I thank all the presenters on that. Calling your attention to consent agenda items on the items A1 through A14, I understand A7 has been removed. It's on our discussion calendar later on the agenda. And items B through H, I understand, but for A7, the other items remain on consent, and so those matters are approved. This takes us to item L, on our discussion agenda. I mean, yes, just, I'm going to have to ask him. And actually, it's item I on our discussion agenda. And after that item I, we're adding an agenda because we think we are a few minutes on time. And we're going to ask Justice Lori Zelon to give us a presentation on the One Justice hearing after item I.